Representative Anderson moves approval of the minutes from the 30th meeting of the Rules Committee, but with an amended change, I believe Representative Dorn was excused that day and should be noted as being excused on the excused list.
So. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion prevails. Rules are adopted. Members, next on the discussion are the miscellaneous personnel report. Ms. Kelly Knight can come forward. State your name for the record.
Kelly Knight.
You may need to pull the microphone up right there.
Members, you'll see before you there are three reports, one marked appointments, one marked change in status, and one marked termination. And these are all the personnel actions that have occurred since January of 2003. The last time that these reports were brought before you, it was January of 2003. So as a result, you'll notice that there are quite a few more listings than would normally appear in here. And so as a result, you may see an individual's name twice. Under appointments, both for the 03 session as well as the 04 session.
Any discussion or questions for Ms. Knight? Seeing none, the chair will move adoption of the miscellaneous personnel report. Move the discussion. If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Next, Ms. Knight, I believe, is the adoption of the Legislative Coordinating Commission Legislative Plan for Employee Benefits. To walk us through that.
Members, you have in your packet not only a copy of the stricken and underlined language of the entire book, but you also have a listing of the changes that are being brought forward. The highlighted changes represent changes that have already been approved under the LCC, that the LCC has statutory authority to approve. The remaining ones, both the House and the Senate, have to approve through their rules committees. And these are number two under the conforming change. This complies with 2003 session law. And it actually permits employees to take 1,040 hours of salary savings leave beginning June 30 of 03 through 2004 and 2005. The one change that our staff group has recommended be brought forward is the law permits it the use of this leave through June 30 of 2005, the end of the fiscal year. The staff proposal is that we extend this for administrative purposes through the end of the 05 calendar year. What this allows staff to do is take up to 1,040 hours of salary savings leave. If they take any salary savings leave, then they would be able to allow their vacation balance to increase from the standard 275-hour limit to 300 hours. But this would only be in effect through the end of the calendar year 05. Number three is the military leave. This also complies with Session 2003 Session Laws, Chapter 123, Section 1, and it provides for payment of salary differentials for members of the National Guards and others called to active duty. And we're also changing where it complies with federal law, change extending to 5 years the period in which an employee serving in active military service must be granted. Number four is harassment and discrimination policy. What we are doing is actually putting the House's policy that we have adopted in this committee previously into the House's version of the LCC book. Our policy differs slightly with that of the LCC and the Senate, so we are putting the more comprehensive policy actually into our manual. Under the staff proposal section, The first two were approved by the LCC. The third proposal refers to deferred compensation. And under our current plan, employees may convert 1 hour of vacation leave to deferred compensation for every 3 hours of vacation leave they have taken in the previous year. The staff had proposed to include the number of compensatory time hours taken plus the number of vacation hours taken the previous year in calculating the number of hours of vacation leave that can be converted. The total amount of vacation leave that can actually be converted remains at 40. But this would allow our staff, who perhaps do not have a lot of vacation, to use their compensatory time in that calculation. Under clarifications, floating holidays, employees receive 2 floating holidays per year, 1 in January and 1 in July. We're clarifying that an employee coming to legislative service from an executive or judicial branch who has used the employee's floating holidays will have their floating holidays prorated accordingly. And we will also clarify that a temporary employee who leaves legislative service and returns will also receive 2 floating holidays. And finally, is number 8 under clarifications, the calculation of the travel mileage. The current plan requires the use of the Department of Transportation records in calculating the number of miles driven between destinations within the state, and those records have not been updated and are occasionally inaccurate. We propose to permit legislative offices to use records they each maintain. Also clarifies that the mileage rate is calculated based on the dates the expenses were incurred, not when the expenses are submitted for reimbursement. That's a summary of the proposed changes.
Any questions for Ms. Knight? Seeing none, the chair will move adoption of the changes to the LCC legislative plan for employee benefits and policies. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Is adopted. Members, next, I believe we're going to follow up on some of our discussion from our last Rules Committee meeting. There were questions from some members at our last meetings about the speaker's account, and mostly there were claims that this account was secret, and I instructed Paul Schweitzer to look at HAS public documents and what has been distributed in the past and what references there are to the speaker's account, such as audit reports, House resolutions and policies, et cetera, and ask him to come forward. Mr. Schweitzer, if you could identify yourself for the tape and
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Provide some information.
I'm Paul Schweitzer, House Controller. I do, as you said, there were allegations that my department was paying expenses to House members through a secret account. It's not true. And we have documents indicating that I'd like to hand out to the committee. The first one is resolution on postage.
There's a page that could help.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, the first is resolution on postage passed by this committee most recently in January of 2003. So you can take a minute to while that's being passed out. But what it says is this is a resolution that's a standard resolution that gives an allotment to each member and the each member as well as to the leadership. And it makes a specific and direct reference to the speaker's account. It says, in addition, mailings may be charged by the speaker to the speaker's account by the majority leader to the budget of the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration, by the minority leader to the minority caucus budget, and by a committee chair to the committee budget. Mr. Chair, I have also asked the page to pass out another document that also reflects the speaker's authority to approve expenses. Save time. Thank you. I've asked the page to pass out two more documents. First one is off of the House's, off of the internet, off of the website. This was the resolution that was passed in 95 and again in 1999, and also was updated and amended in May of 2003. There's nothing really remarkable about this resolution. I think it states what would be really common knowledge or common assumption among all members, and that would be that the speaker, as speaker, and as in the newspapers called the second most powerful person in state government, would of course have the authority to approve members' expenses. I have highlighted though the specific authority granted to the speaker in this resolution, although I don't know that this committee really should limit the authority of the speaker, but what it says is members, when conducting legislative business and official duties of the office, as approved by the speaker or for members of the minority caucus by the minority leader. And Mr. Chair, that's a listing of when a member may receive per diem living expenses to conduct legislative business and official duties of the office. So the idea is, this is the authority granted by the granted to the speaker to do this, and of course my office has to account for those expenses somehow, and that's what the speaker's account does. That is a way for us to show what expenses are, you know, have been approved by the speaker. The third item that I have passed out is from the audit report from 1995. This item, one of the previous audits had said that a comprehensive review of the House financial operations, they recommended that the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration establish a budget for itself, for the committee, if it plans to expend resources in the calendar year. The auditor did not recommend any such control or any such budget for the speaker's authority. And this was the... So they recommended the budget for all committees, including Rules Committee, be approved by Rules Committee. And they found their audit findings were that we, in fact, did that. We followed the recommendations, and they made this finding. They said the recommendations have been fully addressed and the recommendations fully implemented. Budgetary process and interim review by House leadership provides adequate budgetary control of operations. So this was the nonpartisan comprehensive report of House operations that reviewed how we account for following that reasonable accounting standards. Those are the items that I have. One other item. I also testified at the meeting again. I did testify at the previous Rules Committee meeting on December 8th that I have mentioned the speaker's account, I believe, on numerous occasions to this committee. What is being passed out now is a copy of the transcript from the May 16th, 2003 Rules Committee meeting, where again I testified regarding the speaker's account in response to a question from Representative House. And again, I made direct reference to the account. The question had to do with how majority caucus budgets would be dealt with. This is a transcript showing that I again at that time indicated that those expenses are paid for through the speaker's account. This is just the most recent example, Mr. Chair, I believe, if we did a comprehensive review of other tapes, that we also would find references as well.
Mr. Schweitzer, any questions for Mr. Schweitzer, first of all? Again, members, I know there were a number of items that members had asked for discussion to occur today, and I know that guess there's, based on the auditor's report and otherwise, it seems that the speaker, like any agency head or CFO, has to have broad discretion, certainly within the budget, to manage items as he sees fit. And I know the speaker in particular wanted to respond to Representative Erickson's request on historical background of where expenditures have been for the previous decade, for instance. Historically, Representative Erickson, I believe you were looking for that information. And I think the speaker may want to comment on that directly.
Chairman, thank you. And I did ask prepare something from a historical basis the last decade in relationship to the committee budget, speaker's account, and what type of numbers are their increases or decreases and what the expenditures are used for. Representative Erickson asked for that to be provided, so if I have copies for all the members, the numbers kind of speak to themselves. And Representative Erickson also asked if I would question or wonder if DFL members had any requests which were reimbursed out of the speaker's account, and there's a full listing here, Representative Erickson, members for you. And I, you know, the numbers kind of speak for themselves. I'll just pass them out. Interesting in here is that I've had the good fortune and the honor to be chairman of the speaker for 3 terms now. I'm not sure I'm doing very well by the House, so I see that the first year, our total House budgets went down 25%. The next biennium went down another 25%. That's the spending within the House, the Speaker's budget, the committee budget, or else. Probably not done a very good job of advocating for spending in the House members, but I will acknowledge.
The page could have the handouts distributed to everyone. That'd be helpful. Representative Greiling.
Mr. Chair, and Mr. Speaker, I have a question. I haven't seen it yet, but did you break it down? I think we all understood at the last meeting that money was tight and that it's going to be out-of-state travel to speak of. In fact, here it is on this sheet that we got from May 16th. And we currently have pretty much, Paul Schweitzer, of a freeze on out-of-state travel. As always, that requires the Speaker's approval. So it wasn't the questioning of your lowering the budget in times of fiscal need. It was the question of fairness of who then anyway went and who paid for it. And I'm wondering, is it broken down in that regard, the handout that we're getting? Oh, here it is.
Is the number of requests, which would include travel aids in this request, to the speaker's account that were reimbursed in the various years. I think that's how it was broken down as the DFL minority member requests which were reimbursed on the speaker's
account. Mr. Chair,
Mr. Speaker, you know, my concern was the fairness of it, not the amounts, and so I still don't seem to have that information here.
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Rowling, that could be forthcoming as well. So I would ask Paul to try to see if you could find some additional information. I think that's a very fair thing. But I believe travel is included in this. I believe per diem requests, other expenditures, the speaker's approval. Just to show that there is a significant amount of balance, I think, from this standpoint. I know we've been trying to do a decent job of controlling the House budget. Under pressures of the state budget, we had to reduce significantly the House budget and be very prudent and make sure that we don't double count any monies, too. So I know in previous years there was even some requests from some members that, you know, wanted to get reimbursed twice for travel. From certain, in fact, that did take place. I remember back in 97 and 98, there were individuals who had been reimbursed twice from the House budget for travel that they had done. In fact, Representative Brown, I think you were one of them.
Mr. Chairman,
you put in double expenditure to the House that day in 1997. Same trip twice.
Speaker, I would definitely.
Representative Brannon.
I don't recall that.
I recall it.
1997.
I believe it was 1997.
That remains, Mr. Chair and Mr. Speaker. All I have on my list here is DFL places. I don't have any listing of Republicans who run places, so I'm totally able to have anything useful here for my original request, which was not that I mean, I think if we have a budget deficit and we don't have travel, that's fine. I would even support that if we had a vote on that. My concern was, though, that I was told that, but yet the majority members were going, and I was seeing in releases that I got from CSB and all participation and pictures of other members, and so I was wondering how that was paid for, and that sort of information isn't helpful on the sheet when all I see is which minority members went.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Swigum.
I think in response we CSG and CSL, I think we needed the House would pay for the registration fees of CSL or CSG and NCSL. The House would pay for registration fees, not pay for any travel. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. And I believe
the chairs of Representative Osborne and others have
been sure to include the leading DFL members to make sure that policy was known on their committees. I believe, Mr. Speaker.
Chair.
Representative Graley.
Could we find out how did other members pay them? Did they pay for their own? I know that one Republican member, Representative Stephanie Olson, told me that she went on a scholarship. And I'm wondering, where did the scholarships come from? Who's paying for those? If it's a matter of the registration being paid for by the House, which, as you know, it took months for me to pry that answer out, but people need to do that. Too late for me to even go. But now, if all members have that same even playing field, we could go forward fairly from here. But if some are getting scholarships and some aren't, I didn't know scholarships were available. Where are the scholarships coming from if people aren't paying their own way for airfare and so forth that's not covered by the House?
And Representative Growling, I mean, I'm sure that would be probably case specific. You'd probably have to ask Representative Olson, but I know that, for instance, there's an NCSL meeting coming up in March, that there are scholarship funds available for leadership to attend. For Representative Intenza and myself and Representative Swigum, all were invited to that to travel at scholarship funds out of NCSL, for instance. I know that is a scholarship fund that was available. So perhaps, you know, I'm not sure if you've received notice of that or if it's available only to certain ranking members on chairs or leads. I'm not sure, Representative Growling. I think it's up to the organizations to provide that scholarship funding.
Representative, Mr. Chair.
Representative Growling.
Obviously, Olson is not a senior member or candidate. So I'm just, you know, it's the lack of information and stonewalling, you know, the innocent looks when we don't get to find out what everybody else gets to find out. That's very frustrating for something that our state would benefit if we could have a more of a bipartisan participation in things is what I'm asking for here. And so to get this notice with only which minority members went, I find meaningless. And also the information that Mr. Schweitzer has provided doesn't do anything for my desire to know what is the speaker's budget and how much money is in it and how is it being spent. And we did have a motion here last time to be able to see it and approve it by this committee month by month. And, you know, just to get to see some historical documents to say it's been briefly referenced and it's written down that there is one. One is just the Rules Committee budget. I don't even think that one is really the Speaker's budget. I'm still left in the dark on exactly what Speaker Swigum and other speakers have historically done. And I would have no doubt that if we looked back historically, find more spending in historical speakers' accounts than we would under Speaker Swigum. I think times are different, and maybe obviously philosophies are different too on how worthwhile it is to travel nationally and cross-pollinate ideas. So I'm interested in the existence of the account, how much money is in it, but also then given the times, if it is being spent fairly, because I think I owe it to my constituents. Lead on education, finance, which is, you know, one of the dominant important issues in our state, to be able to inform myself so that I can provide a reasonable dialogue at the state level with some balance. And I just, what we have now today doesn't give me a lot to go on, even as we asked for it last time.
Well, and Representative Grine, again, I think Representative Swigum had just mentioned he'd be willing to ask Mr. Schweitzer, as he just did, to come up with other information of other members for 2003, for instance, to have a comparison. But as is quite evident by the statistics that I'm viewing here, it's very obvious that travel or otherwise, payments have been approved by the Speaker's account significantly for DFL members of your House caucus, several thousand dollars in some cases. So an issue of fairness can hardly be brought forward, I think, legitimately.
Mr. Chair.
Jim Bradley.
I have no idea what the counterbalance side is. We don't have that information.
And I think Mr. Schweitzer will assemble some of that information. Representative.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Schweitzer was kind enough to give my staff information. I assume it was more complete. And at least looking at 2003, mileage was about 95% Republican members and 4.5% DFL members. And transportation, it was 68-32. And for expenses, it was 75-24. And it really didn't look particularly balanced to us. I'm just, I guess the only issue that I would raise is we just get a policy out on the table that sort of says what expenditures are going to be approved for what reasons, because I think the issue that a couple of members brought up at the last meeting, there were some conflicting understandings of what would be reimbursed and what wouldn't be reimbursed, and I think as long as it's on the table, then everyone will understand it, and then there's no need for confusion or misunderstanding, whether what your view would be towards at least having a policy that we could we could all understand and work with together about what's reimbursable and what's not reimbursable.
Well, Representative Tenza, I think it would be most appropriate in going forward, as was discussed at the last meeting, if there are issues of reimbursement requests from DFL members that are not being reimbursed after request, that we can look at those. As I recall, the last meeting we had, the minority caucus budget had about a $5,000 caucus budget, similar to other committees. But if you had not gone forward and had a caucus gathering yet, we did increase committee budgets along with the minority caucus budget. I'm not sure if you had a caucus meeting or not in the interim leading up to session. But I'm hopeful that you have that flexibility to make approval from your account as well for travel, for mileage, for other reimbursements to caucus members as see fit. And some of your members have already gone directly to the Speaker and asked for reimbursement. So I'm not sure if that's because they didn't go to you or if you didn't approve them or what that process is, Representative Tenza. Representative Tenza.
I appreciate there's different places that people might go to get reimbursement. I'm just asking whether or not as a House we should have a consistent policy. To remind you, at the last meeting, there was some confusion. Some folks said they believed that there was a policy that the only thing that could be reimbursed was registration for meetings. And then the Speaker advised us that he had paid for airfare for some folks. I'm just trying to figure out, as a House, should we have a consistent policy? That way, out of the minority budget, out of the Speaker's account, out of committee budgets, we know everyone is being treated fairly. We all know what the rules are. They apply to everybody else. I was wondering if you have an objection to a policy as opposed to a situation where different things may be treated differently, not necessarily on the basis of party, but for whatever reason. Seems to me that for our expenditures, that's normally the way we try and do things. We try and have things consistent across the board, and I'm wondering if you would have any objection to having a policy. We could have a number of members sit down together with the Speaker. Perhaps the Speaker has a policy that I'm not familiar with, but it just seems to me that that might be the fairest way to approach things.
Representative Swigum.
Mr. Chairman, members, Representative Brown, we're trying to be as fair to everybody. Everything from records, complete records within House administration in relationship to anybody who's received any payment. Travel, mileage, reimbursements, whatever. To the best of my knowledge, Mr. Tenza, I'm sure there's others, but this isn't high on my list. list of things that I've raised. I have my list of things that are important to the agenda in Minnesota and that we're trying to do from an agenda standpoint. I believe from a policy standpoint that we gave notice to all members and have a game change in this here about NCSL and CSG and how to pay registration fees. And then members would be on their own. Whether it be out of their own pocket, whether it be out of their campaign committee, whether they could obtain a scholarship, whatever it may be, they would be on their own. I think that's true. Do we not, Dean? She nodded her head yes. You know, the
up and down. I heard it in the up and down. I said
the interesting
yes.
thing about this entire discussion, I believe I've denied two DFL requests. At least there may be more than that. One, Representative Anderson requested of me additional traveling days for per diem. I believe it was a special session on the regime. And I'm not one to, I try not to be an older, try not to be a bad person, but to be reimbursed for a traveling day home just didn't seem reasonable to me. And so I said no to Mr. Anderson. And then I also said no to a DFL member, and I forget which one it was. I think maybe Representative Solberg. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but there was a significant mileage request in October or November to go to Ohio someplace, and it was like $1,300. Remember that one? And unfortunately, Jason Roloff seemed extremely out of line for that type of reimbursement for mileage to be going to, I think it was Ohio someplace. The dollar amount just didn't make any sense, and I think I denied that one as well. I don't know of any others that blanketly denied other than the policy of would be general and fair for everybody, Republican or Democrat.
And Representative Tenz, I mean, just to follow up on your question, I mean, objection probably isn't the word to your request, but it seems based on some of the discussion today and the documents even provided that there does not, quote, seem to be a real problem. That the Speaker, I believe, is proceeding with an issue of fairness to all parties, but you know, maybe it's just continuing to look at things on a one-on-one basis and make sure that you feel your members are treated fairly when requests are made either to you or to the Speaker.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Tenza.
Sure, I guess I would prefer to have a policy. I appreciate there's a policy for two types of conferences, but there doesn't seem to be a policy for anything else. And obviously now that our budget has gone up, I need to make decisions on approving or not approving certain sorts of expenditures. My strong preference would be that that's consistent across the House. And the principle is one of fairness, at least when I look at the 2003 reports that we've gotten so far, fairness seems to mean that virtually all the money goes to Republican members out of this account by 3-1 or 4-1 or 9.5-1 in the case of mileage. Because that's where I guess it would help me if we had a policy. I'd also getting releases that only show reimbursements to minority members is selective at best and doesn't really indicate where the balance and fairness is, which I presume that you're attempting to strike. I guess I would ask Mr. Schweitzer whether or not this document that dated January 20th just lists the minority expenditures, that's a document that he created or if that's a document that came from.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Schweitzer.
No, I did not create that document. I do not have a copy of it.
Mr. Chairman, that was
Representative Swigum.
And that's fair enough. So I guess
Representative Tenza.
So I'm not making a motion at this point, but it seems to me that it's all taxpayer money. I now have to make decisions about whether expenses I'm going to approve out of our budget. Your committee chairs have to make considerations about what they're going to approve. The Speaker is making lots of decisions about what he's going to approve. Why wouldn't we at least want a general policy that says how we're going to do that so that all members know that they're being treated fairly and people know what things they shouldn't submit for and what things they should.
Well, Representative Tenzi, maybe we can get some more detailed information from Mr. Schweitzer as he's going to provide. But I do want to point out, I mean, the Rules Committee is not a board of directors. We do set, obviously, some very broad policies and general guidelines with regard to employment for the entire House. But it is important, I think, for your caucus as leader to have a lot of flexibility dealing with individual situations as well as the Speaker's account. The Speaker being able to have a broad discretion within the House as a whole. And I think that would be the most appropriate way to proceed is just to, there is an understanding that there is fairness, and we'll get some more information available. Then we can have further discussion down the road.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Keller.
I guess I just want to put on the record, we had a very good Ways and Means Committee hearing last week about special funds and accounts and really diving deep into them. And what we talked about in that meeting was transparency. And I think there's a real difference, and members should be very aware when we're dealing with budget issues, that there's a real difference between fairness and transparency. And I think one of our highest callings here in terms of doing the job that we're called to do as elected officials is for transparency. That's why we have open meeting laws. That's why we do the things the way we do them. I think that what we're getting at here is really an issue of transparency in budgeting, and we really should dive deep into this, Mr. Chair. I hope you will not just rebuff this, but you will actually embrace this, because, Mr. Chairman, this is really one of those issues that you can make a significant difference on. And, Mr. Speaker, I don't think you have anything to hide here. So I think that, you know, by having a well-stated policy and by having a full exploration of this, maybe by a subcommittee of this committee, there could be a lot of good done. And I will just restate, transparency is not fairness, and they are not the same thing, but when they are together, they really do provide a guide map for the public in terms of what the values of the organization are and also what we are doing in terms of management of money. So, Mr. Chair, I urge you to at least think about this a little longer than just saying that by looking at purely individually we get at transparency, because we don't.
Well, and Representative Keller, just to follow up, is that transparency is important, and as was mentioned earlier, that all documentation is available to the public at large, whether it's per diem, mileage, reimbursement for whatever travel, it's available to the public, available to you, available to anyone who wants to make sure that there is accountability to the public.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Johnson.
I agree with you, and I have an easy solution. If a written official policy is so important, I say we should take the one that was in place before the Speaker became Speaker and use that, assuming one existed.
Mm-hmm. Representative Greiling.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to comment. Representative Johnson, I never have ever thought that it's a good reasoning to say that others did wrongs and therefore we will continue doing them. My mother always taught me, if others are jumping off the bridge, would you do that too? And I tried to make that argument. So I would really appeal to people's sense of fairness here too. And if there's anything to hide, I don't know what it is. But when we get, you know, lopsided information like this, when there was a serious request last time by Representative Erickson, I don't know if she's satisfied with this. But to me, it's kind of like a conference committee offer in the Education Committee from Senator Pogemiller. You know, that we wonder how can he keep a straight face when he gives us the information that he does. And when we ask for historical information and, you know, is it fair and how is it done, and then we get just what the minority party has gotten, you know, to me it's not a serious thing. So I really am perplexed. I'm beginning to wonder there is something to hide when we get this kind of a
Representative Chairman, Representative Bradley, just very quickly, I asked for and Representative Erickson requested the question about how many minority members requests were granted by the Speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Was there minority requests were granted or not granted. That's what you have before you. That's what was requested. We can find more information. And Representative Keller, I appreciate so much that you say that there's nothing to hide or because there ain't. And everything is public. Everything is in House administration, public information for anybody who wants to go to Economic and find out who was reimbursed what. Now, again, I apologize that I ran a very tight ship here within the House. Reduced our spending dramatically from the House budgets and Speaker account together. I just haven't had any opportunity but to reduce them. Now, I know some of you would rather be in the DFL Senate where they get additional per diem, and some of you would rather live 2 miles from the Capitol and be able to get $13,000 of per diem like Senator Pappas did. You'd like to travel and have year-round housing like the Democrats in the Senate have. We can't afford it, folks. We don't have it. Now, if you want to travel, that's fine, but travel on your own dime. You're not going to travel on the state of Minnesota taxpayer dime. You're not going to do it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Griley.
For myself, and I think for the rest of my caucus, that isn't the issue, Senator or Representative Swigum. We're not asking to travel on the state dime. We're asking that no one travels on the state dime if what's sauce for the goose is good for the gander. And it's our concern that there are some traveling more on the state dime than the rest of us are satisfied with not doing. And that's our concern. So I think you're switching around the argument.
Mr. Representative Swigum.
As much, give me the questions or give Paul the questions that you want to answer. The first one I want to answer Mr. Schweitzer is there are any current or former members who have ever been reimbursed more than once for travel historically in this body and their like of names? And I would like it, the numbers given to me to pass out to myself and to the media of the state of Minnesota.
And then Mr. Schweitzer will follow up also with the other annual figures for both caucuses in terms of travel for reimbursement for 2003. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Paulson. And Mr. Schweitzer, would you provide us with a breakdown of committee expenditures by committee for the years 91 through, well, we might as well do through 2003. I want to know which committees were spending this kind of taxpayer dollar that equals well over $500,000 in committee. This is very disturbing to me. Even when we took the majority in 99-2000, we were spending close to $500,000 in committee. But I think it's important that we know what committees were spending these kinds of dollars and for what reasons. So, Mr. Schweitzer, I would appreciate your giving this committee that information.
Can I add that to your list, Mr. Schweitzer? Representative Wagenius?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Am I getting the impression that we have no accounting system that can catch a glitch where somebody may inadvertently put in a second per diem per day that it's an accident? And our accounting system cannot catch that kind of thing, so we actually do reimburse people twice?
Mr. Schweitzer?
We can't count that.
Mr. Chair and members, going back, there have been instances where we have had those double payments. For example, a common problem had been when a member would submit reimbursement for a per diem both to my office and administrative services as well as to the LCC for reimbursement on the same day for a for something under their jurisdiction paid through two different accounting systems. In every case that we saw those, I believe those were simply innocent mistakes on the parts of the member. When a member has 90 days to make a claim, it's very easy to get with 134 members. I mean, for all the number of days of per diem, you know, they're simply bound to be that type of inadvertent mistake. If I may finish, so we established with a process of my office as well as the LCC where we would go through those and compare and true up. And in a few cases, we found that we did need to request reimbursements from the members, and all those members then, you know, naturally did so.
Representative Grally.
Thank you, Mr. Schweitzer. Do you know what talking about my case, and if you do, because you tell us right now, so I know and everybody knows, and we get this one out of the way.
Mr. Schweitzer.
Mr. Chair, members, I think that the situation I described, well, I don't recall if it was that or if I've been, or if it was travel. The other mistake that can happen is that a member, and again, I believe innocently, can make a request for reimbursement of an air travel expense. But then we also might, and that would be through paid for through our accounts, through one process as a reimbursement to members. Through our accounts payable process, we also might receive a billing from the airline for the same trip. So that's how that sort of thing could happen, where one staff does one thing and approves it, another staff approves approves the payment, and that's the sort of thing we only catch upon some type of review. And Representative Greiling, I think that was the case in your case and a few other members as well. Again, I believe those innocent mistakes happen, and we have a process where we catch them. The member reimburses us, and everything is corrected.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Greiling.
Mr. Chair, Representative Swigum, you know, this is such a routine thing that I don't even recall it, but when I used to travel to cross-pollinate and get information, my assistant took care of it. I've had, you know, very excellent staff here, as I'm sure most of us have, and anything, you know, inadvertent or the sort of situation that Mr. Schweitzer just put forward, I don't think would be very newsworthy, but I do find it bullying for you to threaten me with that when I am here asking for legitimate information.
Well, ABS, since we were having so much discussion here about House policies, why there's one other thing that I've been aware of in the last couple of weeks. There have been questions regarding fairness and staffing for both caucuses and the ratios among House departments. And so I asked HAS to also pull together some other information on vacancies and salary savings, leave, so the committee can have a look at where savings have accrued. And if you can just have Ms. Knight talk a little bit about that, so that's straightforward and on the record as well. If the page could help with the handout, that would be great.
That's right.
See, Ms. Knight, members are still getting your handout, but walk us through it.
Good old list us.
Ooh, look at this.
Couple of caucuses listed this time. Mm-hmm. Couple of caucuses. Holy cow.
Mr. Chair and members, what you have before you is a summary of not only the cost savings associated with holding positions vacant, but also with our salary savings leave that our staff have taken. And this is beginning in fiscal year 04, so July 1 of 2003 to current. What I've done is on the front page you'll see work by the Republican caucus, DFL caucus, and then the nonpartisan staff. As a point of reference, I included the staff counts, both the counts as well as the full-time equivalencies, since some departments do have staff that are less than 100% time. The vacancies or the savings through holding positions open as of January 31st of 04 is listed there, and for a total of $107,007.78. Now, why this is important is part of our budget plan for the House, requires that we have an average of 4 vacancies over the course of the year. So we planned on having vacancies in order to reduce the number of staff that we would have to terminate. Also, in the salary savings leave category, this is an estimate, and you'll see it says through 3/15/04. These are actually for leaves that we already have committed through March 15th of 04, for a total housewide of $230,023. And then the total of salary savings leave and vacancies for the caucuses as well as the nonpartisan offices. In addition, the following pages include the supporting documentation of the positions that were vacant, how long the positions were vacant, and the individual cost savings associated with those vacancies.
Any questions for Ms. Knight? Again, thank you, Ms. Knight. The reason I just wanted to make sure that these figures were handed out or made aware to all members is that with the policy of having 4 positions open by all departments within the House as part of the budget savings, it does seem very apparent that the Republican caucus has carried, in essence, the bulk of that load over the last, since the policy was enacted. As compared to the actual ratio of what we should be on a fairness basis of what we would be required to do so under our full-time equivalents. And so I just wanted to think it's important to note that for the record. Any further discussion? Representative Tenza?
Mr. Chair, and I'm very sorry that the speaker had to go. I'm sure he had another pressing engagement. But I was disturbed by Krista's comments about some members of my caucus. Representative Solberg, who's not here because he just had grandchildren who were born with a major health crisis, who may or may not make it. He's out of town for that. Representative Breiling with an issue which I think Mr. Schweitzer made clear is a non-issue. And then his apparent threat of distributing some sort of material to the media, which strikes me as completely nonsensical, but anyway, he can do whatever he wants to do about that. So as long as we're all putting in requests to Mr. Schweitzer, and the Speaker seems to think that there's something useful about getting individuals who may have ever submitted requests for travel, I would also ask Mr. Schweitzer for a list of the top 10 individuals in the House and their receipt of per diem. If you would inform the Speaker that I would be happy to release that publicly as well, at the same time he releases any of his travel information.
Yeah. Mr. Schweitzer is making a note of that, and as is mentioned earlier, all this documentation is available to the public. Thank you, members. That's it. Bye.
Don't leave your script on the table.